with you till we meet again.
Be here. You know, the Lord, he doesn't owe us anything. Not one thing. Think about all the blessings that he bestows upon us from day to day, and none of it is from obligation. I mean, he is not obligated to do one thing for us. Everything that he does for us is by his grace. It's all unmerited. We could not do anything when we were lost. We couldn't do anything that would have made us worthy of being saved. And we can't do anything now that makes us worthy of him in any way. His servant, God's servant Jacob, long ago realized that, and he made this statement. He said, Lord, I'm not worthy of the least of all your mercies. Still, isn't it good that God is a God of grace? And he's a God of mercy. And I'm just glad to be here tonight, and I'm thankful to know the Lord. I'm glad that all of you are here this evening. We're thankful for our visitors. And we should call them our regular visitors. But we're so thankful to have them with us from week to week. And appreciate the good number being here tonight. I am still thanking the Lord for the blessings of this past Sunday evening. The Lord used Brother Roark to just really touch my heart. And I was so thankful for the sermon. And I told someone, I said, I sat right there in the on the amen bench, where I could see Brother Roark standing there from the side, and could see that he was not real stable. He had his cane on the chair right there behind him, his suit kind of hanging off of him where he had lost weight, and he just stood there and just hammered the gospel. And I got such a blessing out of that, and I want us to pray for him and for his ministry. He said that he wants to serve the Lord with his last breath, and I pray that God will help him to do that. I want to ask prayer for revival services that are going on at Old Union. I was out there yesterday morning. And I told somebody, downstairs, Sister Lori Brady was showing us pictures and talking about her chickens and her chicken house and that she just got. And I said, you know, you should have been at Old Union yesterday morning, because I said, Brother Swindle preached an amazing sermon about chickens. And he started out, the kids at Old Union are raising some chickens in the basement at the church. And that's where he started his sermon, talking to the kids from the school about them caring for their chickens, and took it right into the scriptures and talked about how that God, his wonderful sermon, and I'm glad I got to hear that. Let's pray for that revival. Pray for revival services beginning at North Star in Alaska this Sunday. Pray for Jeremy as he travels, and for Brother Luke Spurgeon. They're going to be preaching the revival up there together. at North Star, and want to ask you to remember them in your prayers with their travels and with their services, and pray for the tent revival that's scheduled to begin the second Sunday evening of May. And we are going to be setting up basically where we did last year, but Brother Collins said this year will be actually behind the pharmacy there, where I think some of you parked in that parking lot there last year. So it will actually be up on the hill behind the pharmacy this time. So let's pray for that, and pray for our upcoming revival effort scheduled to begin here in June. And also just heard this evening that Brother Inslee has been hospitalized, and so we need to remember him tonight in our prayers, and need to pray for all those who are in the nursing homes, and all who are sick in any way, and we need to remember the lost as we look to God in prayer. I wonder now if anybody has anything on your heart before we pray. Yeah. Yeah, let's remember Helen. I mentioned here a while back that in a service that we were holding over there, I guess a couple months back, she really the Lord really dealt with her, and let's remember her in our prayers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's remember Donnie in our prayers, and remember Sister Becky in our prayers.
Also, Brother Richard, I need the church to pray for him as well. He's not
saved. All right. Let's remember this. Let's remember Mommy in our prayers. I think Sister Stephanie Waters has surgery coming up next week. And so let's remember Sister Stephanie in our prayers also.
Brother Miller, I was blessed to work with Brother Robart in Grace Creek in two revivals. He's very gifted.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he's done a lot of mission work in Kansas, and I was just so blessed to be around him. I'm going to ask the prayer meeting crew to remember our grandchildren and remember their mother and dad.
Let's remember this. Any other requests?
And I just pray that the Lord will deal with them, and that they will start going to church and hear the gospel. They know we need to be saved. And, you know, the sad thing is that these two young people, they never been to this church. And but yet they know. You know, every man knows that he needs God inside their heart. They know because of it. And that everyone that stands before God is going to give them a chance. And I believe that. But there's just something in the heart that lets them know that he needs God. I just pray and ask that God would just give me more boldness and more sense of urgency to pray for the lost and to witness to them.
Amen. Amen. Let's remember this tonight. Let's continue to remember JJ. He's still healing from his surgery, so let's pray for him. Someone else. We will have prayer together. We're going to have an altar prayer together here in a little while. We've been talking here the last two or three weeks on our during our Wednesday night prayer meeting about revival, and have shared some history concerning revival meetings, and I want to just share a few thoughts with you tonight about revival and what it is. Revival, you know, the word, I think, a lot of times is kind of a fun word to people. Oh, we're going to have a revival. And we use the term, actually, I guess you could say somewhat loosely, because a lot of times what we are saying when we employ that language, a lot of times what we are saying is we're going to be having a revival, and that's all right. I mean, you know, it's okay to call it that. That's a term and a language that's understood among us. But what we are saying truly is when, you know, oftentimes when we say, well, we're going to be having a revival, what we're saying is we're going to be having a meeting. We're going to be having a gathering. We're going to be holding or hosting a revival meeting. And there is a difference. There is a difference between a revival meeting and revival. And I will talk. What we need, what we truly need, is revival. What all of our churches need is revival. What our nation needs is revival. What many individual people need is revival. And so let's think about that for a moment as to what revival actually is. And I like my Webster's Dictionary. A few years ago, I bought a Webster's 1828 Dictionary of the American Language, and I haven't hardly touched another dictionary since. I really like the 1828 dictionary, and I'm going to share with you some definitions that are found in Webster's old dictionary, and this is how that he defined revival. He said that it is a return, a recall, or recovery to life from death or apparent death. As, and here was his example, as the revival of a drowned person. So somebody is under the water too long and they get their lungs full of water and somebody pulls them out, they do CPR and they give them, you know, breathing to their breath, and they spit that water out and they say, this person revived. Now, I think that we need to remember that they were alive already. They were alive before they went into the water. We're not talking about somebody that never had any life. We're talking about somebody that had life revived or recalled or recovered. He said that revival is the return or recall to activity from a state of languor as the revival of spirits. He said that it is recall, return, or recovery from neglect, from oblivion, from obscurity or depression, as the revival of letters or learning. And he also said that revival is renewed and more active attention to religion. Now, I want you to think about that one. Renewed and more active attention to religion. An awakening of men to their spiritual concerns. Now, there have been two periods of great reviving that have taken place in this nation, and they were called awakenings. The Great Awakening, the Second Awakening. One of them happened here in our state. So he defined revival as an awakening to spiritual concerns. So, revival, revival meeting. And this is especially true. Now, I shared a couple of weeks back some history from the early days of the Baptists in Virginia, how that it was far more difficult for them, it was far more challenging for them in their day to hold a meeting than it is for us today. Honestly, with all that we have at our disposal, we can hold a meeting without too much effort. I mean, we have automobiles that will bring us here to the church building quickly. We don't have to travel by horseback or by foot or by wagon. I shared how that in those meetings that took place in the early years of Virginia, how that those people traveled by those means 50 to 100 miles to get to those meetings. And I don't know how long it took them, but you know, I would have to say that common sense would tell us that by horseback or especially by wagon, it would take you a while to travel 100 miles, especially, on some of the paths and the roads that they had. And so, you know, we have a great advantage now in that way because we can get in a car and we can be here quickly. and we have comforts that they didn't have. I spoke about how at those meetings that history tells us that these men, after traveling there, I mean, you don't travel 50 or 100 miles by horseback or on foot and then go back to where you reside that night after it's over and then come back again. They came and they stayed And they camped on the ground. They slept on the ground to be present for the meetings the next day. You know, we leave here when we hold our services. We leave here and we get in a car and we drive home and within 30 minutes or something, you can be stretched out in a big comfortable bed. We've got a lot of conveniences that they didn't have. And so it's not difficult for you and I today to hold a meeting. And it really doesn't take, we don't really have anything to boast about. It doesn't take that much effort for us to do that. Commitment. Spoke about commitment. There's not very many people in any of our churches that will go through a week-long meeting or maybe a 9 or 10 day meeting like what we have. There's a small percentage of people that will make it to every service for that 7 to 9 days. They're just not a lot of commitment, but it should be easy for us. We sit on padded benches. This is comfortable, isn't it? I tell you what, it really is compared to what people of the past experienced. So, and I've said this before. You can have a revival meeting and not have revival. You can have revival without having a revival meeting. It's wonderful when they work hand in hand, but as far as I'm concerned, and I've always felt this way, and I spoke about this last Sunday morning, when we come together here anytime that we're together, we don't need to be thinking, the revival meeting that we have scheduled to begin in June, that's the time for people to seek the Lord and get saved. We don't need to be thinking that way. We need to be in that type of mindset every time we're together. And certainly those who are lost need to take advantage of the time. So we could say, we had a revival meeting this week, but that doesn't mean that we saw revival. Or we could say we had revival. We had great revival, and maybe it all took place in one service, one Sunday morning service. These mirrors have been called by various names. They've been called camp meetings. They've been called brush arbor meetings. They've been called protracted meetings. And sometimes what we term as revival is an evangelistic meeting. A revival, remember what Webster said, a revival is a recovery of someone or something that had life prior to that. And so if you look at these given definitions, if you look at what revival actually means, to return to something or to be recalled or to be recovered, then actually revival is for the church. It's for the church. It's for us as God's people. It's for us as the church to be revived to, I like the definition that we need a renewed and more active attention to religion. A renewed and more active attention to the things of the Lord. Where does it begin? It begins with us, doesn't it? It comes from God. Begins in us. I want to share with you what I believe in the Scriptures is a great, great example of revival. What revival actually means. Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel 37, the vision of the valley of dry bones. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about and be in the valley, and lo, they were very dry. Dry bones. You know what? Sometimes we get dry, don't we? We get dry. We get dried up. Sometimes we're just not very spiritual. It's the truth. I mean, spirituality is a hard thing for us to maintain. And it takes effort. So he sees a vision of dry bones. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? Now, we're going to find out later on that they already had lived. He said, can these bones live? And he said, and I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. This valley of dry bones symbolize the chosen nation of God. These are God's chosen people. They were in captivity in Babylon. They were there because of their own sin. They were not in their proper place. They were not in the place where God had given them and intended them. They were in a strange land to them because they had sinned against God. They were dry. Our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God. Oh, I love this. Behold, O my people, I will open your graves. and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Now, he was not talking about graves being holes in the ground there. He wasn't referring to natural graves. He was talking about the spiritual slumber they were in. When he said, I'll open your graves, he was saying, I will revive these bones. I can do that. I'm God. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. The salvation of souls is great. I believe that's a benefit. I believe that the salvation of souls is an effect of revival. But revival is what happens in us. You don't revive a sinner, they're dead. They need to be made alive to begin with. They're not just being recalled, they're being brought to life in the first place. That's a great benefit. Isaiah chapter 66, for as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Go read that verse and think about it. Zion, in the Old Testament, the word Zion is often used in reference to the New Testament church. It was a prophetic term for the Lord's church. For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth. You know, we can get far away from the Lord. We can, and we do. We drift far away from the Lord. Now, I want to ask you a question. You just answer it in your own heart. You just think about this individually. What I have read to you about Israel, the house of Israel, being referred to as just a bunch of dried up bones, have you ever felt that way spiritually? Have you ever just felt like that I've just gotten far away from God? I've become cold, I've become indifferent. I asked Brother Paul Bryson one time. I was doing mission work in Virginia, and he came to visit. I asked Brother Bryson, I said, Brother Bryson, I said, what do you suppose happened to all the good churches that used to be here, and now they're not? Well, I was waiting for this big answer. And he just said, indifference. Indifference. That's what happens to us sometimes. We just become indifferent to the things of God. Oh, we get caught up in life. We get caught up in the things we do from day to day. We get to running here and running there and doing this and doing that. And the next thing you know, we've not spent any time with God at all. Day after day, month after month. You know, there have been some people visiting the church here. They visited several times over the last few weeks, and they were here this past Sunday, and Sister Swoffer is acquainted with somebody that's a member here. And she told me, I mean, she was joking, but jest, I guess you would say, but She told me when she was leaving Sunday, she said, you tell her that that I've been here 3 times now. I haven't seen her. A little bit was actually saying, that's not good, is it? That's not good for somebody to visit our church and be acquainted with a member and say, I've been there 3 times now and haven't even seen them. Indifference. Now what we do is, we write it off, we make excuses, and we just write it off, and we just find a way to justify it, when a lot of times, just laziness. Should have been more people here Sunday night to hear Brother Roark. Our church had a visiting preacher. Should have been more people here to hear him. And I don't mean this in a sarcastic way at all. But if you don't like to hear that, you can get somebody else. Because I believe it's the truth. We become indifferent to the things of God. Day after day, month after month, these things mount up. The first thing you know, what are we? We're dried up bones. We're just not spiritual. Oh, we love the blessings of God. But too often, we haven't been nearly obedient enough to see them. But I'm so glad that when God showed Ezekiel this vision, that he didn't leave him there and walk away and say, nothing can be done about it. God said, I can raise you up. I can revive you. Listen, I say this to my preacher brothers. Don't ever preach the problem without preaching the remedy. Because there's always a remedy. And God can raise us up. He can revive us. I believe Fairview Memorial needs revival. I believe the church here needs to be revived. We need an awakening. When's the last time that we really... Oh, we pray. I don't question that. We come up to the altar and we gather together and pray. How long's it been since we really cried out to God? How long has it been with a heavy heart? How long's it been with urgency that we really cried out to the Lord? I'll tell you what, if you've been saved, if you've been blessed enough to be saved, you ought to get to work for God. You ought to lay aside your foolishness and get to work for the Lord. That's what we ought to all do. Surely to goodness, there's a better time to get your groceries than when we're here Sunday evening to worship. Surely to goodness, we can lay aside the time, the 3 times a week that we have set to come here and be together. Surely we can at least do that. You know what the Lord's churches need today? Hard preaching. Hard preaching. I think if we perhaps if we really get what we need, maybe we'd see some pastors getting run off because they're telling the truth. I think we need to be revived. I'll tell you what I believe about what I read in the first and second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. When those people there on the day of Pentecost saw thousands of people saved, if you read what happened there in the first chapter, I believe the church was ready. They were prayed up and they were revived and they were ready to serve the Lord. They were gathered there together, the 120 of them, and the Bible says they had unity. They were of one accord, one thought. They were not scattered in their hearts and minds in 100 different directions. They were together, and they were ready for God to deliver the promise that He had given them. And boy, did He ever. And they saw thousands of people get saved in a day. I think I told you this one time. I remember years ago out at the minister school, Brother Moran, your former pastor, was giving a lesson. And he said that somebody had told him that they would like to see all of the old-time missionary Baptist people that there is in this whole country, they would like to see them all together in one service. And Brother Moran said, I told this person, I would like to see all the members of one church together in a service. That doesn't even happen, does it? We've given in to the ways of the devil. There's worldliness. I'll tell you what, people don't like to hear it, but there's worldliness that has crept in among us, and I'm telling you, church, we're going to have to get rid of it if we're going to see revival. We're going to have to get rid of some of these things. I said last week, and I'll stand behind it, I'll stick to it, before we see revival, it's always been this way. It's still going to be this way. Before you truly see revival, there's going to be repentance among the people of God. There's going to be repentance that's going to take place among the church. I hate being dry. It just doesn't feel right, does it? I think if any of us tonight were to say that we've never been there, we should probably just be excluded from the church for lying, because I'd say we've all been there. And it's not a good place to be, and it's not where God wants us. He doesn't want us to be dried up. When we get revived, we will be influential. We will be influential with people when we are where God wants us to be. You know, for any child of God, now listen, I'm not going to take this back. For any child of God, for anybody that's been blessed with salvation, if you won't serve the Lord, you ought to be just downright ashamed of yourself. You think about what he has done for us. You think about what he suffered for us. Think about what he went through for us to be saved. And if we won't serve him, God forgive us. The very least that we can do is obey his commandment to assemble. That's the very least that we can do. I'm afraid now that perhaps we've come to the frame of mind that if we go to church two or three times a week, we've done all that God expects of us. No, that's the very least that we can do for him. He gave it all for us, didn't he? He gave it all for us. I know one thing. Jesus Christ did not hang on the cross and suffer death so that when Sunday morning came around that his children could be out playing golf or fishing. That's not why he died for us. Or be at home sleeping because you just don't feel like getting up. That's not why the Lord died for us. He died that he might save us, that he might have a people that would honor him with their lives. Dried up bones. Just dried up bones. But God said, I can revive. I can make an army out of you. You know that, and this is one thing that you'll learn if you go back and read about it. Let me tell you something. The Baptist people in the early years of this nation were far more influential than what we are today. Far more. They were having far more effect upon those around them than what we are today. Go back and read it. Read some Baptist history and you'll find out that's true. They were wired for sound. They were on fire for the Lord. And they were influencing people. You know, the Baptists in the early years of this country, they were influencing the government. Well, we're not, are we? They were influencing politicians, leaders, government leaders. They were influencing them. I'm going to pray.
I'm determined to try to tell you what the Lord wants to be said.